Bay Roadshow, episode number 389. My name is John Morgan. Cole Coffee is with me here in Las Vegas at the ever so lovely, beautiful, upgraded, expanded Casa de Cold Coffee as we're getting ready for UFC 279 Chimaev versus Diaz. Now, we'll just throw it off the top. We're a little later than we meant to. We're sitting down here to record a little bit later than we meant to, and because of that, we had said we're going to have a third person with us. We're going to bring another person in the mix. That didn't happen. Didn't happen at that point. You know, we talked to Hot T, of course, Willis, but he was down. He was down until we got a little bit later in the day. And then it wasn't going on. And the other people that were in town, and then it got later, and the other options that were on the table, well, they all had dinner plans and things of that nature. So we'll just say it out there. Not that we really expected much less, but we closed the show today at our media day with Nate Diaz, who was about 2.5 hours late. So, just saying.
And when you figure the last interview ended around 1:30, so he got up there about roughly 4:20-ish. It was a little bit before that.
I didn't even notice that. There's no way he did it on purpose,
he didn't.
Right?
He didn't, okay, but okay. That came through our Slack channel because somebody was like, is he really trying to push towards 4:20? And I was like, no. And by the time at that point I looked, he had been up there for a question or two, and it was like 4:18.
Okay,
and I was
now,
like,
that would have been pretty funny if he's like, I'm just sticking to the gimmick all the way to the end.
That would be good. And it'd be funny if he walk off the stage, check the time, motherfucker.
You collected that audio from him. That was nice. That was nice that he was willing to do that.
Would you mind
reading this for me?
We're close
that's
like
cool.
That, you know.
That's cool.
But no, I thought, it's hard to say it's worth the wait for anything when you're sitting around waiting for 3 hours. But he
was good.
I thought he was in a good spirit. He had all his boys with him. I think he brought all of 209 with him.
I counted it. 25 deep as they were in the parking lot. So because we had time to stand around and wait, we were all just kind of mingling and, you know, having a cup of coffee and talk and chat. So all of a sudden, we weren't sure. I thought he might roll up in the Real Fight Inc. bus. You know, you've seen that parked out of his house that he's renting, which that was the other comical part about the wait, right? Is that the house that he's renting and staying in is literally like walking distance behind the Apex. So everybody was just
ridiculous.
Like, you know, we could just walk over to his house right now, maybe get an interview there. To which I'll leave an unnamed PR member to as anonymous, but basically said like, he'd probably love that actually. Like if he didn't have to leave the house and you guys could just come to him. But yeah, that made the wait all the more comical because we knew he was literally in a house that like we could see from the back of the Apex. But so it was funny, like as we were standing there, we kept getting updates. We're here in 3:15. Now we're here in 3:45. Yeah. Now we're here in 4:15. So finally, like I thought maybe that Real Fight Inc. bus was going to come in. Instead, we got the barrage of cars came in. There was just a whole flock of cars coming in, a fleet of them, and they all started emptying out. And once all the doors had opened and emptied and all those things, I counted.
And as the smoke had cleared.
Oh, I was going to say, I counted 25, and it was funny because I was sitting there and I was watching it. I was like, you know what the first question should be? I was like, I should be like, Nate, could you start out by introducing everybody here by name and what their role is and what they're doing here? Like, are these people?
Like, why are you here?
Is everybody here doing a job or are they just hanging out? But it was funny. Like, once they all got set up and as they were kind of mingling for a second, yeah, Nate did kind of back off for a little bit, fire up a little J, take a couple little puffs and come on in.
Take the edge off.
And I think that's why he was in such a good mood when he sat down. So you're right. To your point, again, waiting 3 hours, not necessarily the most fun I've had in an afternoon, but he was in good spirits. And you weren't sure how he was going to be. You know, when Nick fought last, I said coming in, I was like, there's no way this guy's going to show up. Like, you just kind of knew from some of the early media you were seeing, from the situation he was in. Nate, I kind of always felt like he'd be there. I never thought like he'd no-show. And especially because, listen, he's trying to keep himself in a good negotiating position, right? Not necessarily just with the UFC, but with everybody. And if he no-shows, if he pulls, you know, a Ronda Rousey or something, doesn't come to anything, that's not necessarily appealing to future employers. So I thought he would at least show up and come do some things and continue to drive the narrative, continue to get his message across. But I was like, let's see how salty he's going to be while he does it. And, man, he didn't strike me as that salty.
No, he wasn't salty at all. I mean, like, that was, I guess, the kicker. you know, if we waited that long and it was just like the, I don't want to be here, you know, mannerisms, then it's just like, then we would have just been like, fuck, we knew that was going to happen,
right.
And we totally got that. But the Nate we got was, it was fun seeing him. It was fun seeing him up there smiling. He seemed like he had a good time. But what was funny is, you know, we're like talking about all these people and you were wondering, like, what are the jobs of all these people? You know, you asked him about, you know, whether it was cool seeing all these people. You know, you got all these friends, you're sharing this moment. And he's like, this is like normal, you know, like I didn't even realize.
I was like, y'all are rolling especially deep today. He's like, were we? Like,
I mean, so that brings to mind, and we joke, you know, we talk about, you know, a lot of people, you know, they have your boys and you have your boys around. What are these guys doing? If like, do they have their own dreams and like aspirations or thing? Are they part of the real fight thing? Like, who's able to hang out at your boy's house 24/7? Don't their girls get mad? Doesn't their wifey get mad?
I mean, these are real questions.
You know, I mean, like, and at some point, doesn't Nate be like, yo, motherfucker, you've been on my couch for like a week. You stink. Go home. Change your drawers or something. I mean, it just, you know, it's one of those, it's good when, you know, you go to an event or whatever, you bring your boys, because especially we saw Hamzat show up and he brought his boys. So it was like, cool. Both of them brought their crews. But if you're telling me, like, these dudes are always with you, at some point, do you ever be like, yo, I just kind of want to chill to myself, smoke my weed, and, like, watch TV?
Bro, when we used to travel together a lot, by the time I got home, I was like, I need even a couple days away from Kogami.
I'm like, done. I'm done. And these dudes are, like, always there. I'm like, okay. I'm like, I don't know.
That's funny.
So I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe they play integral parts of the day-to-day maintenance of Nate Diaz that we don't understand.
He just enjoys hanging out. He likes having a crew around. But he was in good spirits. But I would say this, he was in good spirits, but also very, you know, maintaining his realism about the position he's in. You know, he understands it. Now, look, there's this narrative, and I wouldn't even say that it's an incorrect narrative, that the UFC is just doing their best to get him beat on the way out. That's why they gave him Khamzat Chimaev. I don't think that that's necessarily wrong. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, if a guy has told you, I'm leaving your organization – as a promotion, your job is not to make sure that, like, he looks as good as he can when
on
he
the
leaves.
Way out.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're not trying to you're trying to, you know, so I get what, you know, I don't think that's, you know, entirely what's happening here. At the same time, the UFC does need marketable fights.
Yep.
They do need big headliners.
Yep.
This is, you know, the future Hall of Famer warrior against the up-and-coming undefeated dude that everybody has. The styles are interesting because, look, it does not take a genius to break down what this fight is, right? Like,
jiu-jitsu on the ground.
100%. Yeah. Khamzat could come in and absolutely steamroll him. I mean, he could. But Nate Diaz does not make it a habit of getting steamrolled. And if he's still there and he's there in 4 and 5, and we haven't seen Khamzat go to 4 and 5, you know, what happens late? And I think that is, to me, that may be an oversimplification. I mean, you know, joking aside, I mean, Nate does have really good jiu-jitsu, so if Khamzat gets on top, maybe he does mess around and get caught in something, you know? As far as power on the feet, don't think there's any question there. That leans heavily in Hamzat's favor.
Yeah.
But Nate's tough. He'll keep the volume punching. He'll try to keep striking. He'll take one to give one. So there's, you know, there's interesting aspects along the way. But to me, yeah, absolutely. Khamzat could come in and steamroll him, or Nate could, you know, make it to the later rounds and make it interesting. And even then, I'm not saying, hey, if this goes past two, Khamzat's done. He has no chance. No. I'm not saying that at all.
Right.
But it does get really, really interesting if it goes past, you know, one round, two round. Nate did have a funny thing today where, you know, I did say, you know, hey, you've said you don't want this fight. Does it make it tougher to prepare? And he's basically like, yeah, I've stopped preparing. Just come beat me. I don't buy that.
I was just going to bring that up if you didn't. I mean, but I think if you take it to the point where he doesn't prepare for particular opponents.
There you go.
You know, I could see where he's like, they're like, all right, we're either going to give you fighter A or fighter B. How are you going to train differently? I think he'd be like, I'm just going to do what I do, you know. But with that being said, so, I mean, is he out running? Probably. Is he hitting some mitts and doing some things? Probably. Is he probably getting down and rolling with his training partners? Probably. So I guarantee he's at least doing that. But
right.
Is he going in there specifically for any particular person and really game planning?
Right.
No.
Probably not.
Not
yeah.
at all.
Are is he breaking down film? Is he talking
not
to anybody
all.
About
– But
you
I
know,
mean,
here's the tendencies.
That's what they're there for. That's it.
There's 24 other things that
– They are all there to break down film and tell him, in between puffs, the strategy that they're going
you
to do.
You could assign like four people per Khamzat fight. Like you just
you
don't
round
have to break
one.
Down one fight.
You guys round two. You round three. But you're right. I mean, when you bring in this, like, it's almost like killing two birds with one stone. They want to find the fight that was going to, you know, really, you know, propel a guy like Khamzat even higher. You know, they're going to try to push this guy to see if he's really going to be even of a bigger star. But also, it's the biggest if not the biggest possible fight that they could have found for Nate that people are intrigued by.
Right.
Could they have got, you know, I mean, obviously if Connor said Connor, if Connor wanted it,
short of
that
Connor,
fight could have happened.
That's the only fight compelling
even
right
like,
now.
You know, if they were like, oh, you know, you want to run back, you know, the BMF belt or you want to do this, people would not care about
I
as
agree.
Much as like this one because you have this monster killer that everybody thinks Khamzat on one side, and then you got Nate, the guy that they're like, well, if there's anybody that's going to pull something out of the hat, you know, it's going to be this guy, you know? And I think a lot of people have just so much love and respect for Nate. They want him to be challenged. They don't want him to have a gimme and go out there. I mean, I can see where some are like, you know, hey, if he just goes out there and 1-2 knocks the dude down, hey, that's great. That's why we've been saying Nate deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Right. I think people want to see him be drawn out and have to show that heart, show all those skills that we don't normally see. And you need to have a game opponent to do that. And Khamzat is that in spades. I mean, so it's doing two things. I mean, it's giving Nate the toughest possible challenge of somebody that was available for him. And it's not going to be an easy fight. It's going to be almost a fight where if he does get beat down a little bit, you know, maybe people will speculate and say, oh, see, the UFC wanted to just make it hard for him. I believe that they want to make it a challenge. I don't think they want Nate to look bad because they want to do business with right. Nate in the future.
See, okay, so that leads me to exactly what I was going to ask you about. So here's the great thing. So obviously, media day, we just got done with that. We'll have the press conference tomorrow. I'm assuming Dana will be there, maybe not. I don't think Dana always gives the best answers at press conferences, and I think a lot of that has to do with he has trouble hearing at them, number one.
Yeah.
But we did get, you know, with it being Dana White's contender series right now, right, we're getting him on Tuesday nights, which is I love because what we do is we always ask him a couple questions to start out with about the contender series and make sure that, hey, we're showing that the respect it deserves. But now let's talk to you about what else is going on. And Dana White, I think, is clearly, obviously, he's a master promoter. He's done well at what he does. But I think you can always read so much into the way he presents things, right? And when I asked him, you know, are you willing to say that you're looking at this as Nate's last fight? And he certainly didn't say, yes, this is absolutely Nate's fight in the UFC. But he said, if that's what he wants, I wish him nothing but the best. I've had a great time dealing with him. Sometimes it seemed tough at the time,
right.
But I've enjoyed it. He's a legend of the sport, him and his brother both. They're a legend of the company.
He praised them both, the brothers, which was nice.
And see, here's what I read. When I'm seeing Dana White praise somebody who we assume is on the way out, that shows to me that he doesn't think that he's necessarily on the way out yet. I think for Dana to be sitting there praising a guy like that, maybe it's just about pay-per-view sales on Saturday night, because why trash the guy ahead of the pay-per-view sales on Saturday night? But I don't think so. When I see Dana give that kind of, I don't say adulation, but at least that kind of respect, to me that means he's not ruling out the possibility that they can still do business together. And he did
at
tell
some
me.
Point. Yep.
Yeah, and he did tell me a couple weeks ago, he's like, if he beats Khamzat, you got to talk about him in a title shot, which obviously means, you know, if you're going to give him a title shot, you've got to give him a new contract. So obviously you plan on still doing business with him. So I don't think the UFC has completely ruled it out. And I think a lot of people were kind of looking into the launch of this Real Fight Inc. as, okay, that's Nate's new promotional vehicle. Now he's doing his own thing. That's where he's going to fight. I don't think that's exactly what's going on. Now, it's not a bad idea because you remember when McGregor went and boxed, he did, you know, Mayweather Sports and Entertainment, and that's where he – so I'm not saying it's not possible, but I just don't get the feeling that the door is 100% shut. I feel like Nate does want to finish with a contract. I think he does want to open the doors up and say, hey, world – what you got for me? Let's see who wants to get in the Nate Diaz business.
Yep.
But I don't feel like he's necessarily saying, because I'm never going back to that place at Zuffa.
Right. I mean, I think even in Nate, his mannerisms today, even though he did push it really long to come there, he never said anything that was burning any bridges. Did he want to say his little piece about what he thought the UFC was maybe trying to, you know, give him a tough challenge and build up this other guy? I mean, that's fine to say all that kind of stuff. There's nothing wrong with anything like that. But he was pretty good about not trying to burn it either. So I could definitely see where Dana – I mean, and plus, too, say this Real Fight thing becomes something, you know, like Dana's going to be like, hey, you know, we have this platform over here, this streaming platform. We're always looking for new content. You know, they could find ways to make something working between that. But he also realizes that Nate could go away for 2 years, 3 years. As long as he's still in shape, they could always bring him back for something, and the Absolutely. Fans would jump at it, you know? So why would Dana do anything to just lessen that possibility if all that takes is just keeping your mouth shut?
Yeah.
That's not a heavy lift. All you have to do is don't – which can be. But Dana's gotten better.
He's gotten better,
you know, in terms of maybe that's him getting softer in his old age, that's as right. you like to tease him about. I think he realized, you know, if he knows that he can make some business and make some money off these guys, why shit on him completely and just close that door and make sure that it's never going to happen,
right.
you know? When all you have to do is just keep your mouth shut
yeah.
and leave that possibility open.
You know, it's interesting that you say that because – and I've said this dozens of times over the years. I've always said the thing that I find very intriguing about Nate and Connor in a potential trilogy is I honestly believe that each guy could be on a 10-fight losing streak and you could put them together and they would sell a million pay-per-views.
Yep.
Like, I honestly believe that, as crazy as that sounds.
Yep.
But, you know, so you're looking at the two timelines, right? Like, Connor, I believe, still has two fights left that he would have to fulfill before he's a free agent. And who knows when that's going to happen, right?
Right.
I mean, dabbing the toes in, who knows? Meanwhile, Nate is like, I'm done now. So the timeline doesn't really meet up right now. And we just said what other interesting fights are out there. I mean, there's some, of course.
Right.
I mean, obviously, Nate, you know, God bless him, like, give me Francis, you know
yeah,
what I mean? Like,
but when you think about Connor, what fights do you want to see?
Nate.
How ridiculous
Nate,
is that?
I know.
And it is. Like, when I think about, oh, man, it'd be great to see Connor back throwing hands. I'm like, that's like the only fight I can think on the top of it. I don't care if he ever fought Poirier again.
Right.
I don't care.
I don't need to see Poirier again.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just like,
definitely.
I don't know of anybody in my head. That maybe Aldo? Aldo and, like, Diaz would be, like, two fights I would like to see again.
You know, it's crazy to say Aldo because Aldo has gone down in weight class, and obviously
Aldo would go
Connor,
back up for that. Aldo, yeah, Connor's way up.
Connor's way up right now. Connor might be closer to fighting Ngannou than Nate is. You know what I mean? Look at it. He's ripped, bro.
He's fucking jacked. But,
you know, it is interesting, like, because I think Aldo would definitely go back up. Well, I say definitely.
It would be a catch weight somewhere.
It would be, but I do wonder because I do wonder, man. I mean, I think Aldo was kind of happy to leave that chapter of his career behind, but it would be nice to revisit it, right? Especially now that, like,
well, he knows his
like
end's coming
title
as well.
Run's done
if,
as far as
if he
as
could
I'm
get
concerned.
another big paycheck, you know, I mean, like, those are the two biggest fights I can think of, and I mean, all it would need is Connor saying, this is what I want.
Okay.
And it would happen.
And Connor, I mean, excuse me, Nate, you know, we've heard the idea floated of going out there and boxing Jake Paul, right?
Yeah.
But what happens if Anderson tunes Jake Paul up now that fight's official? Because I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, obviously Jake is a far younger man, but I think Anderson is. I think Anderson can still.
I think Anderson can take him out. Anderson's going to give him some tough. I mean, it's just if Anderson. Well, it'd be silly to say if Anderson takes a bunch of damage if he doesn't, you know, get his head out of the way. Anderson's got impeccable.
It's just
movement.
It's just cardio late, right?
Like cardio in it. But if he starts taking lots of damage, he will wear down, and will slow him down.
I think
Jake brings a lot of power. People can say whatever the fuck they want about him. The kid's got power.
He does.
He's got a lot of power in his right hand, and I mean, if he catches him with that, it's gonna start adding up.
Look, I'll say it right now, and I'm not even talking about from a freak show perspective. Like, I'm actually intrigued by Jake Paul versus Anderson
Silva.
I do think early on, Anderson Silva, I don't think Jake's going to be able to touch him early on. First couple rounds, I don't think Jake's going to be able to touch him. Like, Anderson movement is too much. But he's also, what, 47 right now?
Yeah.
I mean, like, is the, you know, can he go? I believe
Jake just needs
rounds.
To hit where Anderson's head isn't.
That's
and,
right.
Because Anderson's going to move. Maybe he'll move into it. He's like, I see your head right here. I'm just going to punch 1 foot to the right.
Punch a hole in his fucking chest, I think somebody might have said at one time.
I mean, it's that fight. You know what's funny? I haven't – there. Out of all these Jake Pauls – and not that we're going to turn this into talk about the Jake Paul hour,
but it does. It all
every fight
it all
I've every
it.
Fight I've been intrigued by just for the fact I wanted to see what was going to happen. And this is like another one where it's like, okay, we've seen this kid work his way through legit MMA fighters.
Kasim Rahman I had no interest in, I'll be honest with you.
I don't give two craps about it. That's, I'm like that.
Yeah, I had no interest in that one.
Yeah.
But this one I'm interested in.
Yeah.
But it does – and again, we're not going to turn into the Jake Paul thing, but I think it does factor into all this. All right, so listen, we'll see what happens. I mean,
I guess that being said, if Anderson does beat Jake Paul, that to me, that does not take Jake Paul and Nate Diaz off the table for me. I still like that because all anybody's going to say is, dude, you lost to the GOAT.
Yeah.
You lost to one of the GOATs. There's nothing. You lost nothing. He lost nothing.
Yep,
he lost to a guy that he's going to say everybody says I should have lost to.
True.
And I love the fact that Jake's going in there with lots of respect. He's giving Anderson every bit of his respect. Which is great, because if he does beat him, then he's like, hey, now what can you say? I just beat the one of the greatest of all time
did
in
you,
your sport.
Did you see that tweet?
But I think Nate's still valid after.
I see what you're saying, because you could say, like, well, a different weight class, not the GOAT, you know, one of the toughest guys, but not the all-time elite striker like that. Did you see that quote? I apologize to whoever actually found the tweet and unearthed it, that I'm not giving them credit because I don't know where it got found, because, you know, stuff gets circulated around real quick. But did you see the Jake Paul tweet from 10 years ago to Anderson Silva?
Huh.
He was like, do you remember being in Ohio? Like, I went to a Quaker Steak and Lube and got your autograph.
That's
there.
Awesome.
Yeah, pretty funny, which I was for people that's that don't a, know ever, that part ever, of the country.
That's a good wing joint.
Yeah, wing joint. Yeah,
that's a good wing joint.
Wing joint up in that part of the country. So anyway, I thought that was funny. All right.
That's awesome.
Hamzat Shamai was here today as well. I thought Hamzat was interesting as well. Okay, so Hamzat, he didn't, his crew was not quite as large as Nate's, but wasn't that much smaller. He had a crew rolling with him as well.
Yeah, it's
obviously,
big boys.
Of course, Darren Till was with him, as you'd expect. Yeah. You know, he came in. I thought.
Who?
Darren Till?
Oh, that guy.
Oh, God, I still had that one in me. Too funny. All right, so listen.
That's never going to go away. You got to keep that one on speed dial.
Hamzat was there. I thought he was interesting, right? Because Hamzat did come in and say the things like, you know, of course, I'm going to smash him. He did say, look, I thought it was cool because he said, look, I think I'm going to smash this guy in the first round. But he did say, and I thought it was so interesting to hear him say, but I'm happy to be fighting a legend. You know, this guy is the guy that's been in the sport for 15 years. He's a legend, and I'm happy to be fighting him. And he said, and I thought it was so intriguing for him to say, I hope he can make it five rounds. I hope he can show that he's a warrior and he can walk out of here in his last fight with the UFC as a warrior versus, you know, if I smash him in the first round, they're just going to say he's too old and Uncle Diaz needs to leave. And I don't know, man. I found that intriguing because it didn't take away from me from the intensity. It didn't take away from the fact that Hamzat is saying I'm going to smash him. But just to give that little bit of respect and say, you know what, this dude is a warrior. And, you know, I hope he can walk out of here with his head held high, man. I was kind of intrigued by that. I still think, you know, when they do their face-offs at the press conference and when they do their face-offs at the ceremony weigh-ins, I don't think he'll be tipping his cap to the legend and being respectful. I'm sure he'll be in his face. But just to hear those words, I was like, huh, that's pretty interesting.
I mean, he's definitely playing the game. I mean, I think he definitely has respect for him, but he has still that underlying belief that there's nobody on his level, you know. It would be interesting. I think he's going to go in there, and I would be surprised if Nate did what Nate used to do, where he's really pushing forward and getting in the faces of some of his guys, like when, was it Cowboy that he knocked his hat off?
Oh, yeah.
Another little things like that.
Famous moment right
there.
Like
that
Cowboy's
was like,
head.
That could have been crazy if it would have went. I don't see him doing it with a guy like Hamzat because I believe blows would probably happen up there. But I can see it getting intense. But
I'm sure Dana's going to be on full alert both days.
Yeah, and probably have both guys. Like, that's one of those ones where the securities are going to have one arm around the guy's waist.
Well, and let's be honest. We've been talking about it, but let's just be honest. It's true. Security is going to be on full alert everywhere because it's more the crews. I don't
the
think
crews in the seats.
Those
is what
guys
people
got millions of dollars on the line right there. They know I can't punch you till Saturday.
Can't touch you.
But
I
those
can't
two
touch
crews
you.
That are like jacked up and like,
and I mean the crowd. Every time Diaz has been there, the crowd is so pro Diaz crowd. I think there's some people that even if they're kind of into Hamzat, they're not going to say anything just for fear that they're going to be so outnumbered. It's going to be a pro Diaz crazy crowd. And that's the kind of that goes into the fuel of why Diaz, you know, so, you know, it's like I said, it's, they're bringing him in to make another star, to bring another guy up because everybody obviously is going to be there for him. But if there was going to be a possibility of something popping off at the weigh-in, I would say it's going to be crowd, somebody either trying to prove their love of Diaz.
Yep.
So what, how better way to do that than to get in fight, you know, protecting his honor or something.
Yep.
But when just looking at the sheer number of Diaz's crew there and Hamzat's crew, and there were some decent size individuals in both of those camps, both those crews. So if something did pop off, it'd be interesting. But I'm thinking they're going to put – if it has a typical sort of layout lately, sometimes you have that middle section, a section to the right and a section to the left, they're going to put them to where they're in the opposite sections and then media in between, hopefully acting as a buffer.
So both the press conference and the ceremony weigh-ins are both at the MGM Grand Garden Arena, which has a very large floor area. So you're right. I think they're going to keep them way apart. The official weigh-ins are at the Apex. The guys are both staying in different houses, so at least there's not like the possibility that they can meet in the lobby. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? So like,
or an elevator.
Oh Jesus Christ! Yeah, fortunately, like all three elevator banks at one time. So fortunately, I think we're gonna avoid too many interactions, but yeah. I think the ones that are possible are gonna be managed alertly, yeah. to say the least.
Should be interesting. So there should more than likely there's gonna be a big police presence. The metro will be there.
I'd imagine.
Because then that sends a whole nother message when it's just like UFC staff in the black shirts trying to keep you apart. Than when you're actually seeing Metro,
I imagine,
or the sheriff.
I bet
you're
right.
There.
We'll see at the press conference tomorrow. I bet you there's Metro on stage. I bet you, or at least in the crowd.
At least in the crowd, or right at the edge of the crowd. I know Dana doesn't like to show that. I know in the past they've done that, but I think he probably goes back and does them the way like the way that that looks.
I don't think it looks because you know boxing has done that a lot, and like I think like boxing, you go back to like old, you know, the 80s boxing stuff. Like it's like they almost had more. Like, it was almost more for show. You know, you look at some like the old Tyson fights. They had literally like, a wall of Metro across the ring. You're like, bro, you don't need a human wall. And then, like, a couple people can contain this guy. Yeah. But I think you're right. If it's too trumped up, it starts to look a little like, is this safe? Like, does ESPN want to mess with this stuff? Like, does you know, who knows? So, I'll be honest with you. I've said this going in, and I mean, I think Khamzat Chimaev is of course the right pick. There's a reason the line is what it is. But I'm still intrigued by this fight because, again, Khamzat could absolutely steamroll him. But doesn't mean that he will. And if there's a person that can at least test his endurance and and maybe get in his head a little bit, it's Nate Diaz. So and then of course, then there's all the question of what comes next. You know, win or lose with Nate Diaz. Boy, if Nate Diaz does shock the world and win, and he's a free agent after just taking out Khamzat Chimaev, the USC checkbook's gonna open up. Hunter Campbell's gonna have some big checks to write. We'll see what happens. That's
what
the
was the last odds? I was trying to pull it up. What was the last? Oh, here's one. Oh shoot, -1800 on BetOnline.
I was seeing like -11, -18.
I saw some other ones here saying 1100, but this one here, I'm trying to pull it up. It might be a cash one, but yeah, it was saying -18.
Oh,
one was -1100, but sometimes. Some of them just put the crazy shit up because they're trying to pull money from another.
Yeah, you're trying to get that dog money.
Yeah, like, they're just trying to pull money from another competing one because that's crazy.
Yeah, that, I mean, and that is it is very, very important.
DraftKings is -1250. BetOnline's -1800. And then you got other ones that are like -1250, -1000. What the fuck is this sports bet? Is that a real thing? They're trying to say -3,300.
Get out of here.
Is that even a real thing, sports bet? What the fuck is sports bet?
That's crazy.
But so many of these odd things fucking pop up anymore. These, you know, whatever, sports bet IO. But I don't know.
For some reason, I was thinking AU, but it's not just IO.
But yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, that's crazy. Even at 1,100, I mean, that's pretty crazy. But
that's always important to remember that. Remember that what a line is meant to do, and it is to get the action
get
going
money.
Both ways.
Yep.
And so that way you start going, well, yeah, I think Khamzat's going to win, but wait a minute. I can get 15 times on my money if I take Nate. Like,
I wonder
I'll
if we can
some
get,
money on that.
I wonder if we can get Gianni on the phone and see if he can explain it.
I mean, as long as
it's all bullshit.
As long as as long as it doesn't happen on Tuesday night, he's good.
He's
right?
He's no good.
Tuesdays are
he's
not
struggling.
His night.
He's struggling
on Tuesday night. All right, co-main
event. He got one pick. It's so funny. I think he got like one right, and he was like, they chose to put his tweet up there. He was like, easy. And that $$$$.
No, he didn't.
It did. And I was so the dude got one right in how many weeks, and now you're going to throw his shit up there?
I don't want to kick Gianni when he's down. It's funny. So a media member, and I'll –
thanks, John.
I'll leave it – you're welcome, Johnny. I had a media member ask me like, "Hey, do you think it's like a fair question to ask Dana about, you know,
why do you keep this guy?
Yeah, like why do you keep Johnny around when he's like 2-18 in his last or whatever?" And I'm like, "It's definitely a fair question, but I'm like, it just feels like you're kicking a dude while he's down. Like, you know what I mean? Like he's brought on to be a wagering analyst and." You're going to go on cold streak sometimes. So just,
even DC started like was defending him yesterday like on the commentary.
Oh, my God,
which was
Johnny.
Kind of, my God, Johnny. He's like, people are just getting on him. I'm like, are they telling you to like do this? But you're right. I mean, like, I'm sure if he went back and brought up old bet slips, we would be amazed at some of the runs that he's had, you know, and I'm sure there's ups and downs in just about anything. So I guess it's just kind of funny that they made it a part of the show. And now if somebody was really following that and following
ice
this
cold.
Expert on the show, they'd
ice
be like,
cold.
bro, I'm losing everything because I'm following your expert.
I have seen people that have just been like tweeting at him and be like, oh, I can't send my kid to school anymore. Or it's like so wrong, dude.
Which is if. You know, it's bad because we are in the betting capital of the world. Like, again, responsibly, people, if you're betting your kid's future, stop you're doing. Bet your lunch money. Bet your coffee money. Bet some, I don't know.
Don't bet what you can afford to lose.
Yeah, just bet what you can afford to lose. And then you have nothing to gripe about because Yanni ain't going to care.
All right, co-main event, Li Jingliang versus Tony Ferguson, obviously a surprise matchup. First of all, let me just say, Li Jingliang, once again, just the man steals my heart. If you don't like the Li, you got problems.
Angry at something else.
You need to take a deep look in the mirror because you have problems within yourself. This man is energy personified. He's smiling. It was funny today as he was setting up. Like I was like, damn. I was like right in the middle of throwing away my lunch and come to get a bottle of water. It's like I ran back to my seat and it was funny because like. He was like looking at me like, wait, so he was like looking around my tripod, you know, like just having fun. I mean, his smiles, his energy is fantastic. And it's great, you know, and luckily they had a good translator there with him today. So we really got to hear what he has to say because obviously his English is very limited. But just the smile and the energy alone and just the cadence of his voice. I mean, the Li just stole my heart, man.
It sounds like it.
I'm telling you.
It sounds like it.
Handsome, well-dressed.
Smiles at me, listens to what I say.
But you know, I will say this. So one thing I asked him
That's not love, and I don't know what it is.
I'm telling you, bro. Don't let me move to China. So I might have a whole different life over there. So I thought it was great because one question I asked him was, hey, so, you know, obviously you rebounded from the, you know, frustrating loss to Khamzat. I'm like, and now you're here fighting on a Khamzat week, and that damn replay of you getting lifted in the air, brought over to Dana White, like, you know, an offering to the gods and thrown to the floor, like, as he's talking about you, and then choked unconscious, like, that's getting played ad nauseum over and over and over. I'm like, is that, like, painful to have to watch that? And he let out an emphatic, no! And then he went on to explain, he's like, that inspires me, man. He's like, to know that's what this game is about, kill or be killed. And that dude showed it. And I see that, and I'm inspired by it. And I don't know, dude. A dude that can answer like that and say, dude, the worst moment in my life getting played over and over and over. You know, it's like, you know, I know Michael Bisping has talked openly about having to watch the Dan Henderson knockout play over and over
for
and over.
The rest of his life.
You know, how tough it is. So here you are in a fight week and having to watch that. You know, it has to be tough. And for him to say that, I thought that was incredible. So the Leech, love it. And then, of course, man, Tony Ferguson, one of my all-time favorite dudes in the sport. Just always, I mean, phenomenal fighter, phenomenal character, phenomenal walkout music. And, man, obviously no hiding the run that he's been on. Now, it is against incredibly elite competition. When you look at it, man, the guys he's been fighting, that last knockout was bad, but it was a good performance until it went the wrong way. But Tony at 170, first of all, the mood that he was in today
was night and day.
Night and day. Like, he was even joking.
He even brought it up a little bit when he was talking about how, you know, I could be up here just yelling at you or whatever. He's like, I did that last time.
I yelled at you guys last time. I don't have to yell at you.
I thought that was so awesome. And just being aware, because, like, he could have easily just never brought that up, never mentioned it. It would live in our psyche, and we would remember it. But the fact that he brought it up in a sort of way, kind of like – in a sense, like, that was me.
Sorry about that, guys.
That was a bad mood. And then
he just
re-endears you again, you know. But, yeah, I thought his mannerisms today, I thought his personality, I thought he was smiling, he was having good. It was so funny. We joked. I don't know if it was you or somebody was like, should we just go ahead and turn the chair around right now before he gets up there? He got up there, turned around, and the first thing he was doing was already teasing us. Like, wow, it's quiet in here. Yeah. You guys must have been like, Tony's coming.
I think a lot of people were like, uh-oh, it's Tony.
But, like, once he did that, I was just like, oh, shit, we got the good Tony today.
Amazing.
We got the good Tony.
So that's the mental side of it, but I want to also say the physical side of 170, because that's what the question was. Boy, I'll be honest with you. He looks so much healthier to me today than he has in the past couple – the past couple times he's fought, man, it just – he has looked so gaunt and drawn out that I'm like, that can't be good. And obviously he's doing it, and he's been doing it forever, but – I think this is great. And he started right away by saying 170 is my home. Now, I will say, I was like, does that mean forever 170 is your home? And he was like, yes, this is my home. 155 is my home too. And I was like, yeah. No, that's not what I asked. Like,
what? You can't have two homes?
No, you can have one home. You can have a vacation home maybe if you want, if you're
that
good.
One of them, which is the vacation home?
155 better be the vacation home. 170 better be where you are 11 months out of the year. And 155 is when you're sick and throwing up or something and you drop weight. No, I thought he looked healthy. And so, listen, you can't get around it. There's question marks around Tony Ferguson. Where does he stand? What is his future? You know, again, he's lost to elite level competition. If he loses here, you can't argue anymore. Like, there's some real questions about how much longer he should keep doing this and how, you know, but it's clear that he's passionate about it. I love that at this stage of his career, you know, he's seeking new options in terms of training. And it's funny too, because a lot of times it seems like at this phase in people's career, when they seek new options, it's like building their own team around one person. His is the opposite way. It's like, no, I'm going to a team and I'm going to listen to these guys and I'm going to have,
because he already went through that phase.
Yeah,
he did that already.
I kind of like that.
Yeah,
you know, when a lot of times you're like, I'm reinventing myself, so I grab this one coach who, by the way, I pay directly and I listen to everything he says.
What did he say? He went on a fishing trip or something something along those lines.
Expedition to believe, maybe.
I like that. And that's the perfect way to think about
fishing
it.
Trip,
it was something along the. That's maybe that's just the image I got in my head when he said it. I thought. I was just like, oh, that makes sense. He's going, or he's finding what he wants, or whatever. Maybe it was expedition, but regardless of him being able to come into a fight week feeling good, his body feels good. But a lot of it we know is the mentality of these fighters going into the fight week, and he just seems very happy. Like, he feels like he's done all the right things, and a happy Tony is such a. I mean, it's just so much better for us in fight week. But that usually always equates to a good performance as well. So, and he's going to need it for this one. I mean, this is going to be a crazy tough fight for him. In fact, I picked against him.
I don't blame you for that. Look. I'm so happy I don't have to make picks right now. I'm first at mixedmartialarts.com. I'm at 0-0 on the year, and I'm in first place. because this will be a tough one for me, and not just because I like both guys, but. Here's the thing is, to me, for Tony Ferguson to win this fight, and I may be wrong, but for me to Tony Ferguson win this fight, he's got to take it to Snapdown City. Like, don't set up and try to trade with the leech, man. I think if he goes out there thinking, I'm going to slice him up, and I know, look, he is dangerous with his elbows and all that, but not on the feet, man, not on the feet. To me, takedowns and just scrambles. Even if you don't get the takedown, like, if you can just stall and create the scramble and give you opportunities, because I think his grappling game is obviously far more versed.
Yeah, and almost, I guess, to his benefit, say the leech does hurt him or knocks him down, gets him on his back. Tony on his back is probably as equally dangerous on his back
than
he is standing up.
One of the few people that dangerous there.
You know, and that's the kind of thing, you know, like, here I am thinking, like, man, I just the – Tony's of the past recently, I was just like, not quite sure. And Leech is firing on such a good level. I don't want to take anything away from that loss that he had recently. He's just, his striking and his power is so good. But that's the thing. He hits Tony and he jumps on top and he doesn't take care of his limbs. Tony's going to snatch something up.
I agree.
And that's very dangerous. And that could be the end of how the fight goes, you know, because Tony, even when he's hurt a lot, is still equally dangerous on his back through the whole entire fight. That doesn't go away for him, even when he's practically blinded out there and bleeding like an artery is open out there. He's still
so
dangerous.
True.
You know, the only thing that makes him less dangerous is because he's more slippery because he's covered in his own blood. But he fucking loves it, man. So when I think about like that, there's parts of me that question, because I think if it goes into areas like that, he has the advantage against the leech. But, man, I just think the leech is going to – his striking is kind of what got him, and his just overall size. And it should be interesting.
Yep.
But, you know, after seeing Tony today, this is the kind of stuff that I see that I start questioning my pick as the week goes
on.
Looks
healthy, man. Looks
healthy. But I need to see them. When we see them face-to-face on Friday, when they both have finished, you know, their weigh-in, they've got to rehydrate back, see how they both look right then, and that's – usually at the point, if you have a reverse change of heart, that you're begging Matt Erickson to switch your pick. But at this point, I don't really want to say confident, because that's not – I don't want that to sound like a slight against Ferguson. I'm still confident in my pick that when I chose Leach going into this, that it's the right one. But I will be honest in saying when I saw Tony today, I start to question my overall confidence in that pick, because that was dealing with the Tony that maybe wasn't all there.
I think it boils down again to me to approach. Like, look, if you look at the Leach's track record, right, in recent fights, knocked out Muslim Salikov, knocked out Santiago Ponzinibbio, knocked out Eliseu Zaleski dos Santos, got performance tonight bonuses in all three of those. Now, he had some losses interspersed in there, but I'm saying his last three wins. And I'll be honest with you, if Tony was facing Eliseu Zaleski dos Santos, Santiago Ponzinibbio, or Muslim Salikov, I would say, don't strike with them.
Yeah.
Try to grapple with them.
Yep.
And the Leach knocked them all out.
Knocked them out.
So, we'll see. To me, it's his game plan.
Yeah, his hands are – he's crazy. I mean, and maybe this is the fight – I think a lot of us diehards and people that have actually just watched in the sport, I think, love the Leach. If this is one of those ones where you only know the
super marquee
guys, yeah, he did. I'm going to tell Daniel, don't let John put his passport in his gear Saturday.
He's
you might never see
back.
Him again. This is one of those ones that if he gets a good, nice marquee victory over a guy like Tony Ferguson, if that doesn't help him break into – what should be the mainstream population understanding how good this kid is, then it might never happen. But this is definitely the fight where if he gets a good solid win here, you can't deny that this kid is legit mm-hmm. and that he's a prospect. It's just one of those things, man. If he was able to speak English better, I think he'd be a much bigger star here, because people would understand how his head works. Because now, I mean, if you can fall in love with him without really having the word he's ever said to you.
Love knows no language, bro.
Love knows no language. I love it. But no, I mean, that fight should be incredible. I mean, it's going to be one of the best. It cannot be anything but one of the best fights of the night.
I agree. Kevin Holland and Daniel Rodriguez meet in a late edition 180-pound catchweight fight. That's a great fight. D-Rod basically admitted, look, I'm the one that asked for 180. And he was like, I'm just saying we don't have to cut. We shouldn't. And Holland was kind of like, he was the one that asked for it. Like, I'd totally be good with it. Good fight. I mean, look, they've had a little bit of words back and forth. Fun fight. You know, maybe, look, Daniel Rodriguez has been out for a while, so I think a lot of people might have kind of forgotten the type of run that he was on. But,
yeah.
You know, three-fight win streak coming into this. And, oh, by the way, some pretty impressive names in there when you look at it. You know, he took out, of course, Mike Perry. He took out Kevin Lee as well. Preston Parsons, the one in there that might not be the star power name yet. But even Kevin Holland had to say, like, man, he took out Mike Perry, and Mike Perry took out MVP. You know, he's like, this isn't bare-knuckle boxing, but I'm pretty impressed by that. Meanwhile,
yeah.
Kevin Holland has looked phenomenal in his last two fights. You know, he had a couple setbacks, but he had great wins against Cowboy Oliveira and against Tim Means as well. Now, both those were at 170. But, again, as Kevin Holland said, look, I would have been cool making 170, no problem. This is not me. So, you know, I don't think you have to worry about him not necessarily being in shape. I mean, he was looking for a fight. This is a good fight as well. You know, it's maybe not necessarily neither one of them are cracking the top of the rankings or anything like that. But I think in terms of like guys, I mean, certainly Kevin Holland has built a following at this point, and D-Rod, that kind of guy that looks like he's perhaps ready for the next level. And if he puts Kevin Holland's name on his record, a good one. Kevin Holland is the favorite in that one. How'd you go with that in your staff picks?
I actually went D-Rod on that one.
D-Rod on that.
I kind of forgot about the hand injury. I started questioning it a little bit. But
he said he's good.
Yeah, he said he's good. I mean, and the fact that, I mean, that's because he's so damn powerful. He broke his hand throwing it at somebody.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just unreal. But, I mean, how can you – I mean, Holland, the dude knocked out Jacare from his back.
That's crazy.
Just absolutely crazy. Ridiculous, you know. But I love everything about what Kevin – I mean, I don't know. I felt kind of bad because normally I haven't picked against Holland. I pick Holland for everything. But I'm also one of those cats – I was so enamored on the run that D-Rod was doing. And, like, he's been like this kid that we've been watching for a while. I'm like, dude, why has he not broke out yet? I just felt like he was right there on the doorstep. And this could be that one. So, I don't know. I went back and forth and back and forth. And finally, I think I just had to hit send because I was like, man, I just keep staring.
Torn on all these.
But yeah, I chose D-Rod, but that could end up coming back and probably bite me in the butt.
That's a great fight.
And I would not be sad about that because I love Holland.
Dude, Holland is phenomenal. D-Rod, I do love what D-Rod had to say too, you know, when asked about the trash talk, you know, that you know is coming from Kevin Holland. He's like, bro.
Yeah,
I grew up in L.A., man.
Both these guys had, like, rougher beginnings, man. And then these are two guys that built themselves up from their own hard work, you know. And it's like, how can you not like either one of these
would
cats.
Would probably be buddies if they didn't have to fight each other, right?
I bet I can totally see that. And they would be two motherfuckers that if they were friends, don't start a fight with those dudes at a bar.
Nope.
Like, because these guys look like they're never going to stop. Like,
bro,
both of them have great power. They have great cardio. It's just going to – it's just nasty,
if they stole your girl, she wasn't yours to begin with. You know what I mean?
It was just a temporary loan.
Sorry, it wasn't yours to begin with. Dude, how about the revelation this week that Kevin Holland and Dana White buy each other sneakers?
Dude, that's an expensive but he admitted, he's like, I can't outbuy this dude. You know, you can't get him anything. I mean, it's nice. It's a nice gesture to get something. You know, be nice if at some point he's like, hey, Dana, I spent enough of my per capita of shoes towards you. How about you just kick me the equal?
Hey, percentage wise, the shoes I bought you are way more expensive. So,
no, man, but it's good, man. Kevin's just such a cool kid, man. He's always fun. I love when they do. Embedded's able to kind of show more of his life. But yeah, him and Daniel both, I think, have interesting starts to their life, and they built something. And I can easily see where it's hard to not root for either one. Like, I mean, either one. I mean, both guys are good guys. But, I mean, that's going to be an absolute banger of a fight. But yeah, I mean, Kevin, you don't need to waste your shoe money on Dana. He's good.
And he's like, should I tell him I already have three of those?
Yeah, no. Well, it's funny because Dana comes – and most of the shoes he likes are not UFC partner shoes or whatever.
Oh, no.
So, like, the other night he come in rocking some brand new, like, Nikes that look sharp. And I was like, I know he doesn't want us to pan down his shoe. And they start talking about shoes or whatever. And then me not – no, I wear the same fucking Walmart loafers or whatever. So it's like when they started talking about brands, I'm like – I have no idea what they're talking about. And they're like, oh, Dana, he likes the blah, blah, blahs. And I like the blah, blah, blahs. And I'm just like,
no idea what's going
what
on.
What language?
Right,
where? Fabiano, get in here and translate. What are they saying?
So funny. Yeah, I remember when the UFC first signed the Reebok deal and like Dana came out on stage in some Reeboks. I was like, never seen him wear those before.
He tossed him as soon as he got off the stage. Get these off my feet.
All right, women's bantamweight bout, Irene Aldana versus Macy Chasson. Look, sneaky, meaningful bout right here, man. You know, Irene Aldana, of course, you know, she comes in ranked number four. She has a win over number two. She's been on the sideline for 14 months, but she picks up a win here. You got to start talking about her in the discussion. You know, what are we doing next with the bantamweight title? You know, interesting to see there. So she's definitely in the mix. Meanwhile, Macy Chasson is a physical presence. And by the way, Macy, I thought, looked really good today as well, man. Sometimes I think she struggled with her weight over the years, but even going back to 135, she looks like she's done it right. So stylistically, this should be a banger, and I think it has some real impact in the division. You know, it's funny with Chasson moving down from 145 to 135. It's so weird because, like, you know, she's like, well, I felt like I was one fight away from maybe a title at 145. I'm like, everybody's one fight away from a title at 145. Yeah. It's not even a division. Like, I don't even understand why they have
there's four of you in there.
Yeah, like, dude, it's so funny. But look, man, she beats Irene Aldana. I think stylistically this is fun. It's power. Aldana has power, but I think she's got a little bit more speed. I don't know, man. I think this is going to be a fun fight. So that, and again, a sneaky, meaningful fight. And also, Johnny Walker versus Ion Cutelaba, you know, both of them coming off some setbacks, but a fight to me that it looks like it's just got insanity written all over it. I know Johnny Walker's tried to be a little bit more controlled as of late and a little bit more cautious.
That's
in the
better.
Way
I was going
to
say reserved. I'm like, nah, that's not him, but controlled.
Controlled, but yeah. Ion Cutelaba is a damn madman, and I love it. I love his craziness, and I just think this has madness written all over. So honestly, man, this main card could be fire.
I love Ewan goes out there, and it's like he's obviously his body's in great shape. It's like his shirt's unbuttoned. I'm like, this motherfucker. He wore like a nice shirt, but he had to make sure that you could still see the abs.
So,
in there. I guess I would do the same thing. I suppose
it was funny. So you're right. So he came out there today. He had the unbuttoned, you know, nice shirt on, by the way, but obviously all the way unbuttoned.
He must have been in a rush. He just forgot those buttons somehow.
How
did that happen?
By the way, like when I asked Dana about Kamaru Usman, he's like, "If I look like that, I wouldn't wear a shirt
either."
Like,
that's true.
But it's so funny. So it was funny because so Elon, like, he did his little session, and then we were like, all right, we're done. And he's like, no, give me more, give me more questions. And somebody, like, somebody shouted out something, but I just shouted, like, are you ready? And, like, the translator translated. Because remember last time when he was like, took his shirt off, he's like, I'm ready. Like, I thought maybe we could get him to do the crazy flex again, but obviously he ended up losing last time, so.
Yeah, he didn't want to go that
route. He was just like, yes, I'm ready. I'm like, damn it, you didn't buy the bait then. Fire main card. I think it should be good. Some prelims, it could be good as well. Hakeem Duwadu and Julian Erosa at featherweight. Man, that could be a scrap. Jailton Almeida is back. Catchweight bout, a late replacement there, 220 pounds. Chris Barnett is in there on the prelims. Can I point out, by the way, well.
I love Chris Barnett.
Oh, dude, he's.
I love that dude.
Come on, man.
His personality, and he's just fun. That should be a fun fight.
The debut of Daniel Wolf, a long time in the making. A lot
that
of people are.
Fight right there.
A lot of people.
Just because skill set wise.
There's going to be a lot of question marks around Daniel Wolf, so I'm anxious to see what should. Alatang Hali is very talented as well against Chad Anheliger, so that's on the early prelims as well. Just want to point out the big CFFC contingent down there on the early prelims, Elise Reed and Johan Lioness, two former CFFC champs early on. Both of them have tough matchups, if I'm being honest with you, in Darian Weeks and Melissa Martinez. So not an easy night for the CFFC crew. I think both of them are slight underdogs in there, but you know I'll be cheering for them. However, I will be cheering for them, from Allegiant Stadium. I'm right across the street. This is such a weird fight week for me. Media Day was great today. I'm still a little bit weirded out by the fact I won't be there on Saturday night, but I do feel comfortable in my decision. 6 months ago, I bought tickets to go see Imagine Dragons. My kid loves Imagine Dragons. They're playing Allegiant Stadium on Saturday night. 6 months ago, I bought tickets for myself, my wife, my kid. And then this fight card got announced, and I will be honest with you, my first reaction was, well, I got to cancel with my family. Unfortunately, this sucks, but it's overlapping and duty calls, and I got to go.
Duty.
And ultimately, I gave it some thought, and I was like, no.
Nope.
There's only so many opportunities to go make memories with your son at a big stadium concert with his favorite band. And, you know, there's going to be a – you know, it's funny. In my head, I was like, a few years from now you know, he's not even going to be in the house anymore, so I got to take advantage of it. I was actually talking
to my point.
I was talking to my mom today. It was funny.
Well,
so,
not more than a few.
Well, listen, 10's gone by pretty fast. Another 8, he'll be gone. You know what I mean? But it was funny. So that was my thought in my head. Where I was like, look, it's not going to be that long before he's out of the house.
It's true.
But I was talking to my mom this morning. Just
if Danielle lets him leave.
Oh yeah. Well,
you're stuck here till you're 21.
My wife's born and raised in Mexico. Like there, you stay in your
stay
house
in
until
there for
you
a long
want.
Time.
So he's got the option open to him. But But the funny thing is, I was talking to my mom today. Actually, we were kind of chatting about the week and everything, and she was like, before I even brought it up, she was like, "Yeah, just think about it. In a few years, like he wouldn't want to go to a concert with you." And I was like,
"That's a good point."
I was like, "That's an even better point." I'm like, "Before he leaves the house, he's gonna reach a point where he's like, hey, Dad, I'm going to this concert with this chick and this other dude. Like, we're going. Like, it's not gonna be like, yes, let me go to a concert with you." So I was like. Yeah, so I feel confident.
I never saw a concert with my dad.
No?
No, never.
I didn't see many.
We had a big age difference as well, but still, like, you are right there. You're getting something right there. That's cool. Yeah. I mean, there's no need to justify it. I mean, like, you're doing the right thing. I mean, like, it's going to be – there's a fight. Just hold your breath. There's a fight the following week, you know? And like I said, there's no guarantee that this is Nate's last one. If it is, it's not like I'll rub it in your nose for not being there or anything. Cause you can still watch it after the fact.
That's true.
I'm teasing you, but, no, I mean, you're doing the right thing. I mean, cause before you know it, I mean, hang out with your kids before your kids don't want to hang out with you, you know? So you're going to get that, you know? So imagine that. You and Imagine Dragons and Eli at Allegiant.
So true, man.
That's going to be pretty cool.
I'm looking forward to it, man.
That's cool. And what'd you say Dana said when you told him about it? He wanted you at the concert, right? He was like, I don't want to see you at the
thing. So I went and talked to Dana, and I was like, look, man. I was like, hey, I just want to let you know that, like, hey, I'm not going to be there on Saturday, but I just want to tell you why. And he was like, once I told him why, he's like, I better not see you at the arena.
Isn't that cool?
I thought it was pretty cool, man. He's like, I better not see you
there. That's good shit, man.
Yeah.
I mean, say what you will about Dana. Dana loves his kids, man, so he gets it, man. If only we had the money to splurge like he does for his kids' parties.
Oh, I was just reading about that. Like his daughter's 16?
Daughter's 16th
birthday.
Oh,
man, yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
They hang out a little bit different way.
That's a different life. Different life those kids get.
We got,
yeah. You're like, I'm going to skip an event. We're going to go to Legion.
Yeah, just like you.
Well, you guys do pretty well for him.
We do.
You guys got some pretty damn good birthday parties I've seen.
We've spoiled the kid for sure, man. And, yeah, so I'm going to miss being there on Saturday night, and I hope that it's a great night of action. I'll definitely be watching the show. I'll probably catch the prelims before I head over to the stadium. For those over at the patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow that catch the and a half version every week, which I definitely appreciate, please understand some patience, because what I'll probably do is come home on Saturday night, get some sleep, wake up on Sunday morning, watch the main card, and then record the and a half episode at that time.
Yeah, but, your ears might be ringing. You know, you'd be an old man there at the concert with that loud music. But you better bring your earplugs.
So, dude, that's sad, but it's actually kind of true. There's probably something to that.
Next day, you're like, I can't hear anything.
So funny. And then, but then the following Thursday, I'm going to Nine Inch Nails. Me and Tony are going to Nine Inch Nails and Planet Hollywood.
Woo.
Two concerts in a week, dog.
In two totally different veins.
Oh, my God. We're doing Imagine Dragons at Allegiant Stadium, and we're doing Nine Inch Nails at the Tiny Theater at Planet Hollywood.
That's
awesome.
And we got
pit tickets as well.
Oh,
so.
Just the image of you in the pit. That's going to be awesome.
Bro. Oh, man. All right. So, anyway, that's what's coming up. A lot going on. But listen, I am intrigued by this. A lot going on at UFC 279. I get it. No titles exchanging hands, but some potential real impact to the careers of rising star Hamza Shamiya, future UFC Hall of Famer Nate Diaz, future Hall of Famer Tony Ferguson. I'll just say it. Future Hall of Famer Lee Jin Liang, maybe. I mean, a Hall of Famer in my heart. No, you know what I mean? D-Rod, Kevin Holland. I mean, it's going to be a good card top
that's
to bottom.
So funny.
Please forgive me. I'm sorry.
It's all good.
Thanks for listening.